It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 478. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Brought to you in part by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for future show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. I have two that I received that didn't make it to tonight's show, but don't worry, I will play them next week. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word on Skype. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow. And there's two ways to follow me on Facebook. We got facebook.com/MikeTechShow, but also the Mike Nation Net page on Facebook. And that's facebook.com/MikeNationNet, all one word. And we have the wiki, and that's at mtswiki.com. So now you have all the ways to contact me and get the content for the show and download everything. I have a great show planned just by getting caught up on the enormous amount of email. Keep sending the emails. I love it. It helps me with what I'm going to be talking about on the show because it lets me know your interest and your problems so I can share them. You know I can't answer everything, but I will discuss it and get feedback from the Mike Tech Show listeners and the Mike Tech Show family, and we'll discuss it. So tonight, it's about follow-up on the antivirus for the servers and antiviruses in general, software. I have lots of great questions and also some follow-up on some of the topics from the last several shows, including getting things done and just some of the other little things that we've been talking about. Let's dive in with an email from Jason Miller, regular contributor to the show, and it's about server antivirus. Mike, I have heard you many times recommend Security Essentials and Malwarebytes Pro for your clients. Although I think this is a good combination, I think you are leaving money on the table. I use a service called GFI Max. This service allows not only managed antivirus, but it offers monitoring as well. I use this at all my clients, and I actually include this in my contracts just because it makes sense. It allows me to have managed antivirus monitoring that checks tons of items with the event logs and tons of other checks, patch management such as Windows updates that you pick to install, and third-party updates such as Adobe, Java, Flash, etc., and automated tasks such as defrag, clear temp files, run Malwarebytes Pro scans, and more. With this online dashboard, I can see all my clients at once and approve Windows updates for all of them at once, or just one PC, so it has pretty good control. Also, I can remote control the PCs that I have in my dashboard with TeamViewer, since it's the same company that owns TeamViewer. Now, I am a Advit Instant House Call fan and use that all the time. All you have to do is run a small executable file on the PC and it downloads the rest and installs it. You can also have a site connector that will allow you to download all of the AV updates, Windows updates, and third-party updates to this one PC and push them to the other PCs. This is great for the bandwidth impaired. This can also be a Windows box or server. As I am sure You're asking, how much does all of this cost? It's actually cost effective. The managed antivirus, which is Viper antivirus, but it is also says managed antivirus on the client machines, is a dollar per computer or server. So here is the server antivirus you ask about. And the rest depends on the features you choose. But it's no more than a dollar for all of the other features. And there's more that I said here. Servers are no more than $12.95 per server at most. Most of the servers I use it on are only around $7 a month. I sell hour blocks per quarter as my contract. So if I sell a 20-hour block, I give the client 20 PCs worth install of antivirus and monitoring and one server. For each additional PC, I charge $3. So that's a dollar per PC. If I do this for non-contract customer, I usually charge $4 per computer per month. So I make $2 per PC per month. This can add up. Also, I can't tell you how many times I have logged in and taken care of a problem, like a bad virus or something that's happening in Event Viewer, before the customer even knew something was going wrong. It really impresses them when you show up working on something before they've even had a chance to call you or submit a ticket. So hopefully this helps a little. Thanks for the great show. I am an avid user of your Amazon link. And this is from Jason. Jason, thank you. And I have been thinking about that, especially antivirus. Yes, it's nice to make money, but I got to believe in it and stand by it. I want to see if GFI Max has a trial usage where maybe I can try it on my home server and a machine or two for 30 days and give it a try and play with it and see if I can buy into this. It does sound very good and very affordable, so I am going to give this a serious look, Jason. Thank you very much. More on servers. Interesting. I'm behind a couple episodes. You wanted a server antivirus for free. Try clamwin.com. I use the latest version on SBS 2008. Works just fine for a small business. And this is from Dave. Dave, I want to share an interesting story from a couple weeks ago. When I first started talking about this, I inherited a machine that had Windows Home Server 2003. And they already had Clamwin running on it. And I said, wow, this is kind of interesting. And it needed to be upgraded to the latest version. So I went to Clamwin's website. Do you know the download when I installed it infected my machine? Not only did it infect the server so bad, I am so glad there was nothing on this that I cared about. I couldn't even get it cleaned. I had to blow it away. It was terrible. So I'm afraid to recommend Clamwin because I know what I'm doing, and I downloaded a file from their site and it infected my computer. I'm not enthusiastic about Clamwin. Also, I don't think it's proactive. I think you have to schedule the scans, but I don't think it does proactive scanning for the server. So I'd like more feedback on Clamwin, the good, the bad, the ugly. Let me know. Before I actually start recommending it. My initial experience just within the last couple weeks was very, very bad, but that may not be the shared experience for everyone. This next email, and again, we want to continue on this theme with the antivirus. It's about Sophos, and this is from Brad Call. Hey, Mike, love your show. I'm a longtime listener and first-time mailer. Just listened to show number 477, where you mentioned your bake-off of antivirus and Sophos being declared the winner. This does not surprise me. We have recently replaced Symantec with Sophos for a couple of our clients, and were shocked at how many legitimate pre-existing viruses Sophos found on the network that Symantec reported that the system was healthy. Oh, this happens all the time. I hate Norton and Symantec. I refuse to deploy that. As for the question of a single Sophos license for a server, the minimum purchase for most of the small business product is 3 copies. But keep in mind that this includes their fantastic central management server console. This was actually confirmed also by Dan, who did some research for me on Sophos. So thank you. Because we love working with their products, we worked our way to becoming a Sophos Gold partner. If you need any information on their products, or if you are looking to deploy any of the Sophos products to your clients, give us a call. I'm actually very interested. I got some great solutions here from you with that GFI Max and Sophos. And I'm going to share a personal story that I just mentioned in the chat. One of the specials Newegg had this week, for $27, I bought the ESET 6.0 security suite. And it's good for 3 PCs, and it's $27. So ESET has also come highly recommended. And I think we're down to these 3 for being comfortable to recommend them for small businesses. We got Sophos, GFI Max, and we got ESET. So this is great recommendations, and I'm looking forward to trying out all 3 of them and then coming to a conclusion and becoming a reseller for one of them. And that's what I'm going to be recommending for all my small business clients. But I also need that home client, that inexpensive antivirus for a home client, looking for that to also deploy in combination with Malwarebytes Pro. This is from John, and it's about the encryption virus. Hey, Mike. It's John from Crossville, Tennessee. A computer came into the class last week with one of the ransomware encryption viruses, but this one was different than others I have heard of. And not only did the virus encrypt all the files on the computer, it also encrypted all the files on the owner's cloud storage. Due to the fact that I did not work on the PC myself, I do not know what cloud storage was used. Luckily, the owner had a full backup of his system to re-image the drive. P.S. I also took my A-plus exam on Friday and passed the exam. Thanks to you for your guidance and shows. John, congratulations on passing your exam. That's great. I'm only hearing gloom and doom when it comes to these encryption viruses. This is ugly, and the only thing to stand in its way is making sure you have good backups that are not just file backups, but good backups that are images or in a proprietary format that these encryption viruses cannot infect your backups. This next email is from Roger. Show 472 and migrating user profiles. I just listened to 472 and 473 today, and I have a tool that I have successfully used to migrate user profiles when switching domains for a client. It's called Reprofiler and is available here. I have the link. It works great and will perform all the required registry updates to link a domain username with a specific profile already on the computer. I realize it may be a bit late for the migration you were doing in September, but I did a search and found it listed from several shows back, 393, 394, and 445. So I thought you would have mentioned it in this case. Thanks for the great show. I remember Reprofiler and totally forgot about it. See, I do so many shows. I interact with so many people, so many clients. I can't remember everything that I've ever talked about. So thank you for bringing that to our attention. And I'll make sure there's a link to Reprofiler in the show notes. This is from Terry. Hard drive failures with no restore media. Mike, this is what worked for me when I installed Windows 7 Pro from the disk I made from the ISO I entered the product key. I did not yet have the drivers for the network card installed, so of course I could not activate Windows. Once I had access to the internet, I clicked the activate Windows, and when I was prompted to use the telephone, that did not work. I am very surprised. Then I tried change product key. I was surprised that the product key worked and Windows was activated. This was with a Sony Vaio. Thanks again for your show. This is from Kenny. Business class email recommendations needed. Hi, Mike. My name is Kenny, and I live down in South Florida. I'm a big fan of your show and listen to it weekly. Absolutely love what you are doing. Keep it up. I need some recommendations on email setup for my client. The client is a doctor's office that has four workstations with three computers and one doctor. The workstations are all Dell Optiplexes Windows 7 SP1 64-bit, which I actually had them purchase after numerous recommendations from your shows in the past. That's awesome. Thank you. They are set up in a small workgroup environment, and the only program they really use is for EMR. The program is located here, and we have a link. Now, the program has a feature that can have the patients book an appointment online, and it will send an email confirmation when it is booked. As of right now, the emails are being sent to a yahoo.com, that was set up by one of the employees. It is working okay for them for now, but they want to look more presentable. Bear in mind, that is something they did without letting me know. Previously, one of the employees was using their personal email to have the appointment confirmations go to. Not only was it something that shouldn't be doing, but it was flooding her email with constant requests from patients and the software itself. Plus, you are not HIPAA compliant if you are doing things like this. You cannot have your patients using email like this and sending it to that address. I suggested they get their own domain name and set up email on the domain and give it what they desire. So basically an example, Amy at doctor office for email intra offices between the employees and the doctor, and setting up appointments at doctor office for having the online confirmation of the appointments being sent to that. I have been looking around and was wondering if going with GoDaddy for domain hosting and their business class unlimited email package would be a good choice. Looking at the specifications and all they have to offer it such to match up with exactly what they need. The employees don't really store any documents on the workstation and haven't needed to use email up until now. All they do is use EMR software whose backup is already controlled by the software vendor. Any recommendations would be appreciated. Thank you in advance and keep up the excellent work. I'm worried about a doctor's office communicating with a patient and remaining HIPAA compliant. I'm going to actually give you a recommendation. If you want to contact me offline to help you with this, let me know. And you want to email me, mike@mhsconsulting.net. I recommend going Google Apps with the domain, buying the domain at GoDaddy, and then setting up Google Apps. It's $5 per user per month. And then contacting Smarsh and have all of the email go through Smarsh and be encrypted and therefore HIPAA compliant. I want you to set up something now to not have to worry about compliance and then making another change. Keep that in mind. You just don't want to solve the email problem, but you want to solve it being HIPAA compliant because it's a doctor's office. This is from Terry. Disk imaging. My coworker and I fix computers for repeat customers. We know we will see them again with the same computers. If the computer has Windows 7, I save a system image on my external drive. For XP and Vista, I have used Ghost. Do you have a preference for a different type of software to create an image? Two ways where I will create an image. One, Shadow Protect, which is an awesome program that you've heard me talk about often. And then, you know, you can get a really good system image from Windows 7. That's a default that's built into Windows 7. Take advantage of that. And you can create the repair disk. And it's very easy to boot up and do a restore. And it's free and it's included with every version of Windows 7. Now, this is from Ron. And it's a great link. Microsoft releases Windows Updates Cleanup Utility add-on for Windows 7 SP1. I have not only applied this update to my main system, but also two other computers in the house. When you now right-click on a drive letter and click Disk Cleanup, after you've installed this update, you now get an extra option. You now get More Options tab. And in that tab, you have Programs and Features Cleanup, and you have System Restore and Shadow Copies Cleanup. You can click that and clean up old system restore points and keep only the latest one or only the latest couple. It's a nice add-on to the cleanup feature for Windows, where you can get and recover lots of disk space that is being used up that you don't need for maybe old restore points, old service packs and hotfixes that you no longer know that you're never going to undo. In the old days, an XP used to have a dollar sign in front of it, and they were those hidden directories in the Windows folder. Well, now they're a little more hidden. They're in that WSUS file, and that gets pretty big. So this was a nice release in the last updates from Microsoft, and it's the Windows Updates Cleanup Utility, and I'm going to have the link in the show notes. This is from Chris. I was helping a place with refurbished computers. We install Windows 7. The computers are not the latest. I was wondering, is it possible to make a Windows 7 ISO with all the current updates? I know there are a few programs out there, like the offline updater. It works well, but I'm looking for something faster. We clone drives when we can, but most installs are fresh. Is there a way to install the updates during the install? That would be great. Thanks. Actually, the links from last week's show, we had a recommendation, and it was the Windows 7 Customizer. That was in show 477. It is www.rt7lite.com. Give that a check, and I think that is your answer. This is from Matthew. Hello again, and an affiliate question. Hi, Mike. I have begun listening to your podcast again after a 2-year break. Oh, well, welcome back. Thank you. And I can't wait to hear all the new ones. Only 58 to go to the current. Thanks for all you do. I have also started a computer repair business in the past 2 years, and I'm now looking to direct clients to my newly formed Amazon, eBay, and other affiliate links. I just want to be sure I am following the best practices using redirects. I do still use your Amazon affiliate link from time to time, so I definitely have to, I have not forgot about supporting your podcast. You made it look easy, but I am sure it's hard and pricey work. I see some affiliates use simple redirect page, like I do. You have mydomain.com/Amazon with meta refresh code. Some say this is spammy because of its misuse, and the only way to get it to work well is to have the refresh at 8 seconds. How do you formulate your redirect? I have a simple line of code that my son Ryan actually provided me that I use for my redirect, and mine is amazon.micnation.net. I made it a subdomain, and my DNS for micnation.net is hosted by GoDaddy, and I put that redirect in the line for that subdomain. The best way for me to do that for that code is to link it. So I will make sure there's a text link in the show notes, and I'll call it redirect sample, and in it will open up a text file with that code that you can use to help you with a redirect. It's too hard to explain why everybody's listening to the show here, but easy to come back to my main website, go to the show notes, and then download the example. And I think that's the best way to help you, Matthew. I also use subdomains to redirect customers to Amazon via their affiliate link. I have read that this might be against the terms and conditions. I don't know. Is it true, or is this only for online sites like eBay? I don't think I'm breaking the terms of Amazon, of the terms and conditions for doing what I'm doing, at least to my knowledge. And should this be done with PHP, JavaScript, or basic HTML? I am good with either, but I just want to do it the best way. Well, I'm going to give you the example. And when testing the redirect, how can I be sure if my Amazon affiliate link was correctly recognized by the Amazon site? Should the link that appears in the address bar have my affiliate name? Yes, it should. In it. Or will it just say Amazon.com is normal? No, it will have your ID at the end of the link. I just want to be within the rules and use best practices. Thanks for your help, Matt. I think my example is going to be a big help to you. This is from Nancy Jones. Evernote marries getting things done, and the offspring is Zendone. I know you are a huge user of Evernote, and you were recently introduced to getting things done methodology. I heard on the Evernote podcast about a web-based system called Zendone. I'm not deep into GTD, but I can see how it works using these two products. I can't remember what the pricing is on it, but it's not outrageous, especially if it makes you more productive. If you don't have a premium Evernote account, I recommend checking to see if there are any features in it that you can put to use. At this point, I'm still using the free account, and so am I, but I foresee upgrading in the near future. Also, you should consider using a virtual assistant for your administrative duties. All the invoicing, timekeeping, quarterly deposits, and payments could be prepared by him or her, and you would pay only for the hours you use, similar to how you set up your clients. You could set up a shared Evernote notebook, and each of you would get an alert when the other updates the notebook. You could take a photo or scan a receipt and put them into Evernote. Any handwritten notes can be scanned or photoshot into Evernote. I've started using Evernote a lot when I'm commuting, when I suddenly have an idea for an article I'm writing. I record a voice note, but you could use Evernote's voice note when you are doing a walkthrough of a server room for the first time to record your impressions on what you want to address or look deeper into. Unfortunately, there's no transcript feature in Evernote yet. Oh, I wish there was. That'd be great. But that may just be a matter of time. The Evernote podcast is a lot of fun to listen to if you ever get the chance, and you will learn at least one good thing from each podcast. Great show. I look forward to every episode. Thanks for all your work. I use your Amazon link as often as I can just to say thanks. Nancy, thank you so much. What a great idea. And you know, I have not listened to the Evernote podcast. That is now going to the top of my to-do list. I am going to make sure I listen because I love to learn. And if I know I'm going to take the time to listen to something, I'm going to get something out of it and learn one thing, it makes it all worth it. It's the foundation of this podcast, of what I'm doing with the Mike Tech Show. If everybody listening to this gets one thing each week from a listener, something I'm talking about, a suggestion, a recommendation, a tip, a great website, the tips you just mentioned, Nancy, everybody take away one thing, it's made it worth it. This is a great idea, and I am going to start checking out the Evernote podcast because you know I love that utility, and I introduced that to the Mike Tech Show family a long time ago when Evernote first came out. This is from Peter, D-Link Backdoor. Hi, Mike. D-Link is in the process of developing a patch for a serious security vulnerability in some of its older routers that functions as a backdoor. The affected D-Link routers are DIR 100, 120, DI 624S, 524UP, 604S, 604UP, 604 Plus, and the TM65240. The company reportedly is working on a firmware patch for the vulnerability that will be available by the end of October 2013. Until a new version of the firmware is available, users should ensure that their wireless networks have WPA2 enabled and use random passwords. Great advice. And Peter, thank you for that info. This is from Brandon Jones. Disable Windows 8 Metro interface. Ooh, I like this. I happened on a recent video by Brytech where he talks about a program that can be installed on Windows 8 machine that will totally disable the Metro interface, the hot corners, and a couple other options as well. Thought your listeners might like it. Thanks for the show. Brandon, awesome. We got a YouTube link to Brytech. I am always glad to link a video from Brytech. Thank you. This is from John. Mike, love the podcast. I am a longtime listener. Thought I would try to contribute a little something. You mentioned in a recent show that you use Thunderbird and like it. Yes, I do. I recommend that for clients. A nice feature it has that may not be well known is the ability to integrate with Google Calendar. To do so, one must add Lightning 2.6. I've actually heard of that. And provider for Google Calendar .25 add-ons. Installation is a little tricky, but not beyond any Mike Tech Show listener. The beauty of doing this is it gives the user a fully searchable experience with Google Calendar through the Thunderbird interface. Google Calendar itself will look back only a short time for repeat instances of a string. For instance, if you have entries in Google Calendar concerning years of medical or financial entries, Google will not find all of them on a search, just the last few months for entries. Using the calendar search function in Thunderbird will return all instances of entries back to the very earliest. I found this out when I took the time to enter detailed medical history for myself and my wife in Google Calendar, going back many years. Doctors' offices often required this for new patients, and I was tired of looking it up and trying to remember it all. A Google search yielded limited hits on entries, while Thunderbird Calendar found them all. Back to childhood. In my case, this is a long time ago. It's a nice feature, and maybe others will use it. And this is a correction to the previous email. Google Calendar may find entries going back many years, but it will not display them all. In my experience, a recent search result said I found 11 entries of a certain string, but would display only 6 of them. Don't know why they would do that. And hope you read this right after the other email. John from Florida, thank you very much for that. Great tip. And I will make sure we got links to Thunderbird and Lightning. This is from Dean. Dead Seagate external drives. I had an external Seagate drive die. A client also had one die. What I found out trying to recover the data is that the drive inside was okay. Just the interface was dead. If you take the external drive apart, the actual drive inside might be okay. Put it in an external enclosure on your SATA dock and check to see if the data is there. I am going to do that on all the dead external Seagate drives. And guess what? Since I talked about that and I mentioned 3, another one died this week on a client. Hope things are okay, Dean. Beware. I am having an incredibly high failure rate of Seagate portable external drives. Stay away from them. Do not buy them. do not recommend them. Completely boycott them. I am seeing an alarmingly high failure rate. I am replacing them with Western Digital Passport 1 terabyte drives, and they're working flawlessly, and I've not had any fail. I'm starting to now get confirmation, as you heard by that last email. As everybody's been mentioning throughout all the emails, please continue to use my Amazon link. I want to thank you all for supporting the Mike Tech Show by using my Amazon link. And there's several ways you can do it. You can just go to my website, click on the big Amazon link on the left-hand side, or go to the redirect that we talked about, amazon.micnation.net. Your price will be the same, but I get a little commission back to help support the show, and it makes a big difference. And I want to thank everybody for your continued support. Thank you so much. And please continue to support and use Fab's Auto Backup for tech. I have a laptop in my bag waiting for tonight after the show. I gotta back everything up because I have a user going from one laptop to another. Going to use Fab's Auto Backup to take all their information to make that transfer from Windows Vista to Windows 8. No problem. From an older laptop to a newer. And then also Malwarebytes Pro, the best program you can use to protect your system against all that evil malware out there. And then want to thank Instant House Call for their continued support of the Mike Tech Show. Great software. Used it today to remote in to help a client who broke their Outlook profile, and I had to fix that. And one of my biggest clients, where I'm there on site 2 days a week, but I'm not there on Thursdays. But this morning, got a panic phone call. Mike, help, help, help. My Outlook's not working. Can't get my email. And it's one of their main salesmen. So I said, no problem. I said, click on the little doctor on your desktop. It phoned me so I could just, boom, connect them instantly using Instant House Call. Went in, redid their profile. They were up and running, and they were happy, happy. With that, I want to thank everybody for downloading and staying subscribed. Next week, I'll catch up on voicemails, and I have lots of stories from the trenches that I will share. That's it. Have a great weekend, a great week. I'll see you next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.